Blog Talk Radio.
I can bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan, and never let you forget who I am, because I'm a woman. W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. Because I'm a woman. W-O-M-A-N. Welcome to Word of Mom Radio. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Music Monday here on Word of Mom Radio. And I am so excited to have the two guests that I have here today from the Westchester Broadway Theater's production of Always Patsy Cline. I have their stars, Erin McCracken and Suzanne Fletcher. And I want to give you a little information about Always Patsy Cline. I had never heard of the show before. And in seeing it, just absolutely what a great story and the story behind it. And I had pulled it up. I'm actually going to read it from the program. In reading the biography of Patsy Cline, Ted Swindley, who is the gentleman who wrote this play, discovered an interview with a Houston housewife, Louise Sager. The interview recounted the tale of Louise's fateful meeting with Patsy Cline at a Houston honky-tonk and included a letter that Patsy had written to Louise. The warmth and humanity of this letter gave him the idea of an interesting way into the singer's life, music, and her effect on her fans. And the story is about how they met one evening, become pen pals, and stay friends until Patsy Cline's untimely death when she was only 30 years old. And I have to tell you, I don't know if you're not a performer, if you can truly be just dumbstruck and in awe of the performance these two women give. Because it is, on one hand, it's a concert, and Erin, your portrayal of Patsy Cline is just remarkable. And
oh, thank you.
Then you have a one-woman show with Louise, I mean, with Suzanne playing Louise and telling the story so beautifully, so funny. So, I mean, you both, but that was the wonderful thing. The two of you had the audience wrapped around your fingers for completely different reasons. And watching that was amazing. So let me give you a little background on these two fabulous performers. Okay, Erin is returning to the WBT. She's performed there before, and she's a graduate of Oklahoma City University. She studied under the legendary Florence Birdwell. She has a live recording of her New York City Cabaret debut show, Thank God I'm a Country Girl, and it's actually available at the theater. You can find her at erinmccracken.net. You definitely want to take a look at her site and find out the different things that she's doing. And Suzanne is originally, performed in numerous Broadway, stock, regional, and workshop productions. She's been nominated for a National Broadway Theater Award in 2001, the Barrymore Award in 2002. She is also a writer. Her musical is called A Girl Called Dusty. It had its world, Dusty, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it had its world premiere at the Princeton Repertory Theater in 2005. And her play, Soft Spot, was seen at the Playwrights Festival at the Actors Studio. And she's currently working on a screenplay, and you can find her at SuzanneFletcher.com. So let's bring these two amazing women in. And I'm going to ask you first, Erin, what was it like having to bring Patsy Cline to life?
Well, you know, it's not really an easy task. Thankfully, this is the second time I've done the production, so I was pretty well prepared this time around. The first time I did the show was in Rhode Island last summer, and I was pretty nervous going into this show. You know, when you play such an iconic person, an iconic woman, you kind of get nervous, like, oh my gosh, everything has to be perfect. It has to be just like she sang it, just like she said it. All of her mannerisms have to be down. And I studied a lot of videos about her. I read multiple books that were written about her. and interviews that she did. But what I came to find out is that there's only one Patsy Cline. You know, no one's going to be exactly like her. So anyone who's portraying her or portraying anyone, you just have to do it to the best of your ability and just kind of get in all of her nuances in there and, you know, and it'll come off on stage. So in that sense, I was kind of more eased into it this time because I kind of knew what was in front of me. But we had a very short rehearsal process for this show. We had 10 days of rehearsal. We didn't have a day off for almost 2 weeks. And so it was a really hectic schedule. But, you know, we got through it and we did it. And Suzanne is a rock star. she'll tell you, she had never done the show before. And she had to learn all these lines and those monologues. Because like you said, the two of us hold the show up together by ourselves. But we did it and it was a lot of fun and I think we have a really great product and everyone seems to really enjoy the show.
I can't imagine them not enjoying it. And Suzanne, are you still there or did you bounce out?
Oh, she must have bounced out.
I think and she's back. And there you are. You know,
I don't know what happened.
I'm serious, you just missed being called a rock star. You know, and everything else. You just missed great accolades. You'll have to listen to the archive to find out all the wonderful things Erin just had to say about you. But I was asking her what it was like, you know, playing Patsy Cline. And then, Suzanne, for you, I mean, 98% of the dialogue is you. That's what I found so interesting is that even when the two of you were sitting at a table, most of the dialogue was you describing what went on with you and Patsy Cline.
Yes.
And then there'd be another song. And then occasionally, but what was remarkable is that it still seemed as if the two of you were talking. What was
Isn't that weird?
In that 10-day period? No, that's what makes it so wonderful, the rapport between the two of you.
Well, in this particular production, I didn't have the luxury of doing any research or anything, because I was very, very late into the project. I found out about it 2 Fridays ago that I got the gig, and literally spent all of the time learning the lines. I mean, you know, from then on, it was about lines. The first day of rehearsal was that following Monday, because we rehearsed 10 days basically from first rehearsal to opening, right, Erin?
It's insane to think about it.
10 days. So I had to learn that entire script in that amount of time, and plus, you know, bring the emotion to it and get it on its feet and all that stuff. So I didn't get to do any research at all. Fortunately, I've always loved Patsy Cline. I've been a Patsy Cline fan for decades, And it really helped me to have Erin, because she's so unbelievably good in this piece. I mean, you know, she really sets the tone, and then you understand why this woman is so in love with her. You know, I mean, you know, platonically speaking, just because she was such an incredible vocalist, but she was such an authentic person, you know, and she didn't seem to have any agenda but just to sing and bring joy to people. And so for me, the process was really about learning the lines. We'd be in rehearsal, and I come home, and I just sit there for 4 hours trying to learn them and go back in the next day. So I can't wait, actually, now that I've been introduced to this piece, and hopefully it's a piece that I'll do again. I'd love to, like, really revisit character, you know, after this production is over, because it's a short run. I'll be able to go back and do all the homework. And, you know, I did look up Louise on the internet and just got a sense of who she was as much as I could in the little bit of time that I had. But I love the story, and I love the way that it's, I mean, I'm a writer also, and I do love the way that they wove the stories together and brought us so much information and so much of Patsy's music and all of that in a story that basically takes place over a very short period of time. You know, that's good writing. I think it's really well written, honestly.
It really is. And, you know, what's really interesting, normally when you do a show, okay, you have dialogue in your lines. You know, you're going back and forth. So you have your lines to learn. They have their cues to learn, this and that. Whereas you, it was just amazing singing. And, I mean, really, Erin, you have such a beautiful voice. You have color to it, depth. You've got, your low notes are so full and your top notes are effortless. So it's really fun. Like when you were singing Stupid Cupid, you know, and I was just grooving along. I'm serious. I know Pia had to have put me down towards the front when we were there for press night because she knew I would just be bopping along, you know. I couldn't help it. I was the one when you said the thing, Suzanne, when you said about being Baptist, I was the one that really laughed. And I'm not a Baptist. And you were like, oh, you must be Baptist. But I have so many friends who are. And that's why I totally laughed the way that I did at that line, because there were just such fun moments. And even the band, having the band on the stage. You know,
yeah,
you know,
there's something really, yeah, it's really unique about this production, not this production, this show. When you go to any theater, you know, all the band or the orchestra is either, you know, underneath the stage, or in this case at the Westchester Broadway, they're backstage up in a band loft, and you never get to see them. And so what Westchester audiences will really love and what they have loved is being able to see the band. They are on stage with us. They are the third, you know, they're the third person in the show. And we have a wonderful four country band full with a steel guitar and a fiddle, drums, piano, bass. And we have four amazing musicians who just really helped make the show come alive. And, you know, and they're into it. And the audience loves being able to see, you know, the band members working it out up there. And it's a lot of fun.
I actually almost have more dialogue with the band than I have with Patsy.
It's true. It's true. And you know, and that's what's really comical about it, because here's Erin playing Patsy, and she's the singer with the band, but you are actually the one who interacts with them the most, Suzanne.
Well,
and, you know, when you're driving...
Sorry, go ahead.
When you're driving your sweet young thing... The car?
The sexy dude.
That's what it is. Mine was always Sweet Young Thing. That's why I popped into that. But, yeah, you're the sexy dude. I mean, forget it. And that was what was so fun to see as an audience member and then slash as a performer. I mean, you know, throw me on the other side of it. And, like I said, I was with my sister-in-law who knows nothing. You know, she's not a theater person. She's gotten to see me perform for years. She's come to different shows with me, and seeing her take on it, she was like, wow, you know, she was like, she wanted to pull up Patsy Cline because she knew really nothing about Patsy Cline. So she was like, oh my gosh, she was only 30 when she died and, you know, blah, 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 blah. So when we got back to the house, I was pulling up YouTube for her to listen to some of her music and stuff. And she was fascinated by the story and thought it was just such a great production and so well done for a completely different reason. Me sitting there watching, it's just like, unless you do this, you have no idea how hard it is what the two of you did. And still, I already said it once, but my jaw, it's like my jaw's hanging open. It's just absolute applause at how the two of you, for completely different reasons, had the audience eating out of the palms of your hand.
Well, Erin,
you know?
You sing like 26 songs, right, Erin?
Yeah, do 26 or 27, yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. And what's so crazy to me is that in this show, there could be 27 songs, and you never go, oh, dear, here comes another song. I mean, it's like the way that she performs them and the way that they're woven into the story, you're happy for every single one of them.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
It is.
Yeah, and I think what's really great about the songs that are in this production is that, you know, Patsy Cline was known as a country singer. Everyone who does know her or thinks that they know her thinks she was a country singer, but she was the first country singer to pop, cross over into pop music. So she
right.
does all these covers of a Stupid Cupid and Shake, Rattle, and Roll and Got a Lot of Rhythm. And, you know, even Crazy was considered a pop. And
mm-hmm.
so that's what I think young audiences should know and would love. It's not just, you know, old country songs in this show. She really was, you know, kind of like the Carrie Underwood of her time. She was doing these pop songs and really selling them and working it with the band. And so I think it's important for young audiences to know that this isn't just for mature audience goers who knew Patsy Cline or who listened to her growing up. It's a lot of fun, and you just kind of get to see your Carrie Underwoods or your Miranda Lamberts of you know, the 1960s, 1950s. And you know, we have young, I had two of my friends come to the show yesterday, and they honestly didn't know who Patsy Cline was. I mean, they knew the song Crazy, and they kind of knew Walking After Midnight. But afterwards, they were like, that was great. That was so much fun. We had a blast. We're going to come again, you know?
Oh, good.
Because they just loved the music. They loved, you know, Patsy's music. And not to mention, they loved the character of Louise because, as you say, she's so funny. And Suzanne does a wonderful job at, you know, portraying, like, the really funny parts of this character from Texas, and also, you know, the really warmth, like, the warming parts of her personality and her love for country music and her love for Patsy Cline. So I think there's a little bit of everything for every audience goer out there.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, we need to take a quick – I'm sorry to jump in on this, but we're gonna, I'm going to just take a quick break to thank our sponsors, and then we're going to get back in because I really do want to talk to you, Suzanne, about the range of emotion that you go through in this production. So really quickly, for those of you just tuning in, you're here on Music Monday on Word of Mom Radio, and I want to say thank you to Julia Brunetta Simpson at Brunetta Productions. Julia is a dynamic actress, singer, model, wife, and mompreneur, and she's appeared around the country in regional dinner theater stock, as well as off-Broadway and cabaret venues in New York City. She actively promotes the arts in education, teaching in schools, libraries, churches, senior centers, and also prisons. Her work inspired her to create Brunetta Productions to educate and entertain audiences of all ages and walks of life with quality program that highlights contributions made to the world culture by African Americans. You can please visit BrunettaProductions.com to learn more and hear clips from her CD, Here's to Life. It's jazz with a touch of the blues and a bit of musical theater thrown in for fun. So, again, you can go to BrunettaProductions.com. You can also tune in to one of our archives from Music Monday. Julia was just here not too long ago promoting her one-woman show. And our other sponsors, Safety Bags, LLC, and StadiumBags.com, which meet the see-through bag requirements for professional and college sports. They offer a three-year warranty, and how many $30 products can you say that about? Because they're that good. And we all know cheap is expensive, so if you're going to buy a clear bag to deal with those clear bag requirements, cheap is expensive, don't buy another one. Get one that's actually going to last. The clear mini backpack and mini messenger bag have unique features to safetybags.com. For those fantasy footballers and those of you who can't get away from your electronics, there's an outside zippered pocket where you can actually put your smart devices in and use them right through the bag without having to take them out. And ladies, we may be tomboys at heart, but when you need to be discreet, you're in the clear with an inner sleeve offering privacy inside a transparent bag. So you can go to stadiumbags.com and see why they're the clear choice. And we are back here with Erin McCracken and Suzanne Fletcher from the Westchester Broadway Theater's production of Always, Patsy Cline. And Suzanne, I wanted to talk to you a little about Louise, because how interesting to portray someone who, from the first time she heard Patsy Cline on the Arthur Godfrey show, that her sons were inside listening to while she was cooking, to falling in love with her voice, wind up going to hear her play, and by chance meeting, because you had the guts to go over and say hello to somebody who was all by herself. Because people forget that. People forget the performers. You know, Patsy Cline was just starting out. Nobody really, you know, knew her. To you, to that woman, Louise, she was already Patsy Cline before she was ever really Patsy Cline. So what was that like to play that woman and all the myriad of emotions that she goes through?
Well, you know, on a personal level, I kind of understand it because the play that I wrote, the musical that I wrote that went up at the Provincetown Repertory Theater was about Dusty Springfield. And I had an experience similar to that when I was out on the road with Annie Get Your Gun, and I was part of the tour. I could drive from one city to another, so I was doing a lot of driving. And I heard this song, this Dusty Springfield song, that I literally had to pull off the highway and listen to. And then I started doing some research on her, and that was the beginning of me getting involved in ultimately what became writing a two-act musical about this woman, you know. So I had a similar experience where, you know, it literally, you know, stopped me in my tracks, you know. So, I mean, I understand that the way that people we forget as artists how much of an impact we can truly have on people, because most of it we don't see. I mean, you know, you get the applause after a show or something like that, but you're doing your work, you know, and you're trying to live inside this person and create this person and give it life. But you really have the power to impact people and influence people. And I love that about Louise, because she's, you know, she's very, very funny. I mean, it's written very funnily, you know, funny, but this woman has so much depth of heart. And I believe that's why she and Patsy, you know, actually became friends, is because they were very similar women. They were similar in age. They were living a different life than was expected of them at that time frame. Louise was divorced and raising two kids alone, and Patsy was like a career woman, you know, basically, with children at home and a husband that was supportive but not. And they were, you know, both Southern women, and that was, you know, certainly has its own dimension, you know. And I think that they both were women with an enormous heart, you know, and kind of fearless in a way, you know. I mean, I think that I love Louise's fearlessness, you know, when everybody's trying to kind of, stomp her down in a way. She doesn't let, she won't take no for an answer, you know, from anybody, from the disc jockey, from her boyfriend, from her friends, from, you know, she just won't take no for an answer. And she's got a fearlessness that I believe Patsy also had too. And so I like how they intertwine, and yet they had obviously completely different lives, you know. But I think I love Louise's bravery and fortitude and forthrightness, you know. So I don't know if I even answered your question, but there you have it.
Well, you did. But, you know, and I have to say, you know, I it's funny because you really were so funny.
Isn't she hysterical?
Oh my gosh.
She's hysterical.
Oh my gosh. I mean, you really are. You are hysterical. And so what was really lovely was that when, you know, I am somebody, I have a rule that nobody cries alone in my presence. And I am somebody who's very genuine in, if somebody is actually crying for real, whether they're on stage in a movie, in real life, because I've been at conferences where there's somebody up there giving a testimonial, tears are dripping down their face, and I'm like, you are so full of it. You're totally playing for the camera, and I can tell. And, you know, my brothers always laugh at me, but it's the truth. Your back was to me where I was sitting, and when you got the news, I had tears dripping down my face. because you were so genuine in your grief.
Thank you.
And that, and I truly mean that. And I it, that was why your performance was just so amazing, because you went from this starstruck to, you know, the finding how many commonalities there were to this wonderful pen pal friendship, caring that you had for each other, to losing somebody so near and dear to your heart and finding out so unceremoniously, you know, turning on the radio and, you know, waiting to hear the DJ play your song to find out instead, you know, that Patsy Cline had died in a plane crash at only 30 years old. And when you think about it, back in, what was it, 1963 that she died, or 68?
63.
63, right. I mean, how many years, another century later, people are still listening to Patsy Cline. I mean, she really, you know, left such a legacy of music and everything else. And I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that she was just such a good woman and how much her husband, Charlie, you know, really kept her memory the way it should be kept. You know?
Yeah, I don't know. Absolutely. I don't know about that part. Is that true, Aaron? I didn't know that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he kind of, you know, just kind of, he took over her estate and made sure that everything was on the up and up, and that people who did want to memorialize her did it in a way that he, you know, approved of and want Patsy to approve of. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was very active in that, and I think that's such a testament. Again, to how, what a wonderful woman she was, you know, and what a good heart she had.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, like, when you talk about her music is still being played centuries later, it's because these were just really great songs, you know, and songs that spoke to people and spoke to people in different ways. Kind of like Suzanne was saying, as artists, you don't really realize the kind of impact that you have on people, and especially through music, you know, music feeds the soul, and it feeds everyone's soul a little differently. And her, you know, really big hits just live on and on because they are wonderful messages and beautiful songs, and she sang them so beautifully, you know, and her range and this wonderful voice that she was given. And so I think it's, you know, really spectacular.
I would have to agree. And really, for those of you in New York, you know, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, in this little tri-state area, you're planning on coming here, it's a limited run. It's only running until February 28th. And the number at the Dinner Theater is one of my favorite numbers ever, 914-592-2222. It's just the easiest phone number ever. And I have to tell you, you know, Alex, who is the head chef, you're going to have a marvelous meal and get to see an absolutely wonderful show with two really remarkable performers who, I'm serious, how you two are doing what you are doing is beyond me. I hope I get a chance to come back up and get to see the show, because I love to see the evolution. You know.
Oh, thanks.
I really do. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed that I will be able to get back again. Just before we wrap up, I just wanted to do a little housekeeping here. Tomorrow on the show, Renee, we are back with week two at Keep It Simple with Renee in the Business Spotlight, and she's going to be talking about automating your systems for your online business and how critical it is for your online success. And on Wednesday in our Authors Alley, I'm really excited to have Kathy Schimmelfield back. She has created an adult coloring book, and it's called A Day in the Life of Mom. And it is just really, really fun. I don't know. I have never outgrown loving to color, especially if I don't feel well. And how to use the book, you know, you borrow your child's coloring pencils, you find a place to hide, you look through the book and find a page that has the most meaning to you, you start coloring, you stop whenever you want or when your hiding place is inevitably found, You can hide the book so the kids won't finish the pages for you. And when you have a moment, start over at number one. And it's just, I'm really excited to have Kathy on the show because it's really got a fun little message as you're going through it. And, you know, as somebody who raised three kids, having a coloring book for mom would have been really great. Finding the hiding place would have been harder, but the book would have been great. So, I know. Ladies, thank you so much again. Okay, you guys, you can find Erin at her website. You are welcome. ErinMcCracken.net and Suzanne Fletcher, no E at the end of Suzanne, S-U-S-A-N-N, Fletcher.com. Follow these two women and find out where they're going to be. And, again, if you are anywhere near the area between now and February 28th, get to the Westchester Broadway Theater to see Always Patsy Cline, 914-592-2222. So, ladies, again, thank you so much for being here with me today on Word of Mom Radio. It was my pleasure, and I just absolutely loved getting to see you perform. Like I said, I'll keep my fingers crossed that I'll get there
come
again.
Come back.
Yes, I'm going to try. And for all of you tuning in, it was my pleasure. My pleasure, Suzanne. My pleasure, Erin. Thank you so much for a lovely evening that I got to have, you know, opening night for Always Patsy Cline. On that note, thanks for tuning in, everybody, and go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.